The thing I'm worried about is, how do I describe this in a PC way? My nipples get very, you know.
Yeah, they get hard.
Yeah, so if we're in
I'm a loser.
If we're in cold weather, considering I do have these man structures that I wish I didn't have, but I do, I have a feeling that the pictures are going to show them. Now, I hope they airbrush them out. But
just wear an undershirt. You never wear undershirt.
Yeah, I'm not a big undershirt
guy. I got
guy.
Three shirts on right now.
Oh, my God, he does.
And my fly down.
His fly is down.
Oh, we're on YouTube, right?
That's right. We are on YouTube. So if you want to consume the show video-wise, we are on YouTube. There was a question asked yesterday by a few people I know saying, why were you standing? I think Gio even asked me the question, too. A lot of, why are you standing? We don't normally stand. I have a horrible hamstring. I don't know how I suffered this hamstring issue.
And certainly not doing anything athletic.
I know.
Ow.
So I've been standing a lot, and Sean and Tiki have joined me in solidarity and are standing with me. So that's why we are standing a lot.
I also did find out, I had some people working down in Florida that told me where your sister was sitting. They had to spend 3 hours after the game mopping all her tears up after the Rangers scored five goals on the Panthers. Yeah,
that's
she
funny.
All right?
She's all right. My sister, my nephew, and brother-in-law were all at Rangers, Panthers, the Winter Classic.
Yeah? Your nephew a big Mika Zibanejad fan now?
Sean, they just won 2 Stanley Cups. Like, seriously. You think they're tearing up over a regular season loss to you losers?
It's the in-season tournament.
Okay. Now, speaking of the Rangers, the owner of the New York Rangers and the New York Knicks, James Dolan, was in studio yesterday with Craig and Big Mac. Very entertaining interview. But Sean had an idea yesterday on our show. We like to do long-term bets, sometimes short-term bets. And so Sean proposed a short-term bet revolving around the interview with James Dolan.
Can we do our first long-term bet in the midday that can be paid off tomorrow?
Go ahead.
Can I get paid off tomorrow? I like this. That's a short-term bet.
Okay. What is Chris McMonagle's first question to James Dolan today?
Mm. So I love that. Like, that was a great short-term bet. And maybe there was an Islander fan who wasn't going to listen to James Dolan, who said, I'm going to listen now just to see Big Mac's first question. Here were our guesses from yesterday. Let's start off with me. My official short-term prediction is the first question Big Mac asks is specifically about the Rangers, and I'm going to go with Drury specifically.
Mm.
Yeah, I thought that after Craig did the Knicks, because of course Craig is a huge Knicks guy. That's his favorite team of all the teams he roots for. That Big Mac would try to be unique and say, hey, I'm the hockey guy around here. I'm going to ask the hockey question. So that's why I thought that. Here's what Tiki and then Sean thought Big Mac's question would be. What's
I'm going to say, how did you know Mike Brown? He's going to say, Mike, what made you know that Mike Brown was the right coach?
So, oh, that's a good one because that's a nice, comfortable one to get in. Yeah. I'm going to go, why no banner for the NBA Cup?
Yeah. All good guesses.
All good guesses.
Now, you didn't hear the interview yesterday?
I didn't. First day, new schedule. With all due respect, I ended up getting caught up playing with my kids a lot.
What kind of team player is Sean Morash? We got a brand new show.
I know.
I know you don't like Craig, but you're friends with Big Mac.
I know.
You didn't listen to the interview? Craig, I'm joking. Go ahead.
I meant to. I had a lot. Dude, you know the deal. It was the first day in this schedule. Okay. My kids were pumped. Now, if Dolan's on today again, I'm listening.
Okay. Here is the question. Now, Big Mac ended up asking 3 total questions to James Dolan. I did count. I was playing a game while I was listening, scoring at home. But here was the first question Big Mac asked. Let's see if any of us hit the jackpot.
Now, did you go to Tom and discuss these changes, or did you just and take his?
No, we decided to surprise him with.
No, well, I'm saying, like, because you mentioned it wasn't.
Guess what?
You mentioned it wasn't his thing. Was there discussions about possibly getting him to changes, and it felt like it wasn't going to happen, or did you just make the assumption Tom wasn't the kind of coach who could make the changes you were looking for?
So that was the question that featured Chris. Dolan kind of going after him.
Now,
McGonagall.
What?
First of all, good for Chris that James punched back at him a little bit. I think that made him a little easier, but hearing Chris's voice reminded me of the first time I got to talk to Brian Cashman with you. And I've been there, right? You know, you're in that spot, it's the big guest, and there was a lot of, you felt like saying, today, Junior, get it out. And I think that's what Dolan was saying back. But good question, though, nonetheless.
Yeah, that was in relation to, because James was very honest about, like, what happened with Tom Thibodeau, and basically said we wanted someone to be more collaborative. Like, we had heard those rumors. Ian Begley did some great reporting about that.
Wait, what did Dolan say? No, we surprised him. Now it's like registered.
Yeah, it was kind of funny. Dolan's got a sense of humor. He gave Big Mac some crap. So bottom line is we were all wrong in regards to the first question. But I did pull 2 very interesting things that Dolan said, in my opinion. He said a lot of interesting things, but the 2 things that jumped out at me. Let's start with the basketball. Specifically, and I think I included Craig's question here because the rest of the questions were Craig, was Do you expect to make a big move at the trade deadline? Obviously, Giannis Antetokounmpo is a name that, you know, has been linked to the Knicks, mainly because the report came out Giannis wants to be a Knick.
Mm-hmm.
So the question was, do you expect the Knicks to make a big move at the trade deadline?
We love our team right now.
Right.
Right. They have chemistry. They all like each other. I've never seen a locker room more, you know, just more copacetic.
Right.
There's a lot of energy in there. And, you know, I don't, you know, Leon can always overrule me, but I don't see us making a big change because we got to keep building up this group, right? This group can win a championship.
Yeah.
I believe that.
You know what jumped out at me of that answer?
That he didn't consider the in-season tournament a championship?
Stop it. He had a great answer to that. I didn't pull it because it's okay. Been everywhere, which is we want to hang a real banner, like a championship mm-hmm. banner. Quote, Leon could overrule me.
Yeah.
That's what you want to hear.
Because of course.
You want whoever is your GM or team president, whether we like them or not. And obviously there are some team presidents here that we don't like. I think of David Stearns in this regard. I do want the team president to ultimately make the decision. And in the case of Leon Rose, no offense to James Dolan, I want Leon Rose making every freaking decision.
Yeah.
If he thinks it's not worth making a big deal for Giannis, I got to trust him. He's the one that built this roster. But I thought the phrasing of that was intriguing. Like, Leon could overrule me.
Not only intriguing, I think it's downright refreshing. It's refreshing. We think about our football teams and wonder how much ownerships get involved. We wonder, does Brian Cashman really have the freedom to spend all this money, Hal Steinbrenner? Leon Rose can override me is like the most refreshing thing I could hear an owner say in this.
The other thing, very refreshing, and this is visible, is that James Dolan came in with Craig and I 2 years ago. So it's about 2 years later. He wore the exact same New York Rangers scarf yesterday as he did 2 years ago.
So I noticed the scarf. I didn't realize that was the same one.
Because when he walked in, my first impression was Ranger scarf. And I was like, oh, that's cool. Ranger scarf. Because there's always that stereotype, he's a Knicks guy.
You think that's why it's on purpose? He wants to show the Ranger thing?
I think it's a really comfortable scarf.
Or do you think his neck gets that cold?
I think it gets that cold. It's very cold this time of year. Speaking of the Rangers, here's the other thing I caught, and this is for you, Sean, as the Ranger guy at this radio station, not named Boomer Esiason. Here is, and you'll hear Craig's question, do you still believe in Chris Drury? I think this is what Ranger fans wanted to hear from the owner of this team more than any other Knicks question. So here is the question and the answer from James Dolan.
Do you firmly believe still in Chris Drury being the man to make your personnel decisions?
Yes, absolutely. He and Mike Sullivan, right?
Yep, coach.
New coach, right, are installing a new culture into that club. And that does not happen overnight.
So you're being patient.
I'm being patient. We're not out of it by any means.
No.
We're still very much in it. And we have the personnel that could, you know, I mean, if they pull it together. I mean, what they did to Florida down in Florida
yeah.
was, you know, somewhat impressive. Just one game, but
see some signs that make you...
But culture doesn't turn around overnight.
This is the polar opposite of his Leon Rose answer.
You do not like this.
This is big-time current New York Giants vibes.
Wow.
Big time. Now, first of all, I understand wanting your new head coach. I don't like the idea of firing coaches every 2 years, like what the Rangers have done. So I understand establishing culture and all that. But the idea that Chris Drury is trying to change culture here, they had good culture. The one who ruined it was Chris Drury. They made two conference finals in 3 years. They had good locker room guys like Trubin, like Kreider, and the fans complained. They listened, and they overreacted and rocked a locker room that didn't need rocking, and now they have stripped this thing down to the bones, and they're half in the water as a good team, half in the water as a bad team, trying to survive injuries, and their culture actually sucks. So it just feels very much Joe Shane Giants-like. You're giving him too much time.
James Dolan has a reputation, with the Rangers specifically, I'll keep it to them because we saw it with Glenn Sather, of being very patient. Craig used that word, but it's true, based on how long Sather was here. And even Jeff Gorton was here for like 7 years.
He was.
So I think it's just him telling you, I hired a guy, and I'm going to trust that guy for a long period of time. Even though right now you may not believe in him, and I understand why you don't, I think it's actually very consistent of him that he hires somebody uh-huh. to run this hockey team and basically says, go ahead and do it. And here's the bottom line with Chris Drury. Twice, you were in the Eastern Conference Finals.
Correct. Twice. And the team that Gorton built that got there, he broke it down and now we're all there.
Okay. I get that. I'm just giving you the facts.
Okay.
So you did not like that answer from James Dolan?
No, but at the same time, I'm not going to kill. What's he going to say? Yeah, I'm ready to fire Chris Drury after this year. So actions will speak louder than words with that. We'll see at the end of the year.
If you want to hear the entire interview, I think we have it on the WFAN YouTube page, or you could download the podcast. See, look at me. Yeah. I'm about teammates.
Yes.
All about teammates.
All about teammates.
While I'm at it, let's promote everybody else. Morning show. Yep. You can rewind on the Odyssey app. Did Tommy go on the air last night?
Tommy went on the air, I think. I still haven't listened to a word he said. He is getting more negative on the Knicks, though, in the losing streak. Notice that on Twitter. He's been a little more fair.
I mean, they're playing like garbage. What's he going to do?
But the Tommy we knew would have said, you know, oh, no vacation plans in June. He's holding off. He's saying possibly.
They call me Tommy the Rationalizer.
Is that new?
They call me Tommy the Rationalizer.
Did you know that?
Tommy the Rationalizer, yeah.
That's what he's calling himself now instead of positive Tommy?
I don't know. The only thing I heard last night was Al Cintron. He was on... No, I don't mean anything negative towards Tommy or even positive
Hold
towards...
Hold mine!
I woke up at 3:15 and just... I was up. And I hit the FAN Odyssey app and went to live. Usually I rewind, I listen to other things, and I heard Al talk for like 5 minutes and I passed out.
All right.
I love you, Al. It's nothing personal. I'm just tired.
I am seeing Tommy. I'm going to his house in division around Saturday. I've made it a point. I don't want to listen to 30 seconds of Tommy until I see him again.
Tommy?
I need a break. I need a cleanse.
One interesting.
No, biggie. You guys all should. I think he's great at what he does. I need a cleanse.
One interesting thing about Tommy is we have an Evan and Tiki text chat. He is still in the text chat, but has disappeared from it. So he's in it, and I thought he was going to remove himself immediately, but he hasn't commented. And I directly asked him something about 5 days ago because he, for the first time, skipped the podium on Knicks losses and did not tweet about it, which was called out by many people. So I texted him, hey, someone's skipping the podium. He then got to the podium after the Philly loss, but never acknowledged the message.
Yeah.
And then I even wrote, good job, Tommy. So he's there, but he's not there, if that makes any sense.
We all were conversing about something. I think it was over the weekend, maybe during the football games. I forgot what it was. And Tommy wasn't. He, in a separate group chat, said, I got to find a way to remove myself from the 7 and Tiki chat that I'm in.
Oh, so I'll just...
I can remove him. But I think he doesn't want to miss out on things that are said about the show. That's why. I think that's what he's struggling with. I think he's muted the chat.
Okay.
I think you leave that up to him. Don't remove him because he's going to get mad at me. But I know that he was not upset with how much we were talking as friends on a Saturday night during football games.
He did not like that.
Yeah. Like, you know, we do exist. Like, we do like each other beyond here.
Yes. Tiki was making great points about football. We're listening. We're learning.
That's it. We're texting just like friends would.
You got to get him out of the chat.
That's why I said, I don't want
to. So you're going to let him eliminate himself?
I'm going to have a nice sit down with him. I've been in charge of bringing wings to his house and do a little sit down with him.
Tommy,
are you kidding me?
Tommy, if you're listening, I won't take it personal. We love you. Like, if you don't want to be in the text chat anymore, just get the hell out. It's not a big deal. Look at that.
You were the least liked person on our show anyway.
Let's get back to your calls. 888-808-1019 is the number. Let's go to Dom in New Rochelle. What's up, Dom?
Hey, what's up, gentlemen?
Yo.
There's no clear-cut guy for this job right now. I think the only no-brainer is John Harbaugh, but he's not available, so you'd have to trade for his rights. Stefanski and McCarthy, I'm just not a big fan of, Sean. I don't think Stefanski's a bad coach.
Okay.
I just don't want a guy that has been coaching an unsuccessful team for the past couple of years. I know he took him to the playoffs. I just think he's worn out being over there. And McCarthy, to me, is an absolute joke. I don't think he's a good leader at all.
So, Dom, I want to hear your idea, though, because like, if you're going to shoot the coordinator out, I want to hear what makes them better than Kevin Stefanski.
I'm going to shoot the coordinator out. I'm just going to take a shot at a young defensive-minded coordinator like Vince Urshula. They haven't had a young defensive coordinator as a head coach since Bill Parcells.
Mm-hmm.
They lost all their games this year, big time with the defense.
Okay.
Jackson Dart doesn't need an offensive-minded head coach. He's already got it.
Now, Dom, I agree I'm high on Jackson Dart, but I've heard this argument a lot about hiring a defensive-minded head coach. And it doesn't mean I'm anti it. It doesn't mean it can't work out. But there are two things that really bother me when somebody says that. When somebody says they haven't hired a defensive-minded head coach since Parcells, well, what does that mean? You think that hiring this guy means you're going to get Parcells? That's number one.
No, you know what it means? Can I tell you from the other side?
Okay.
As a Jet fan, we do the opposite, as you know.
Only hire offensive guys?
No, we only hire defensive guys.
Oh, I'm sorry, yes.
Yeah, the opposite. And so there's a thirst to do something different.
Okay.
Because what we've tried hasn't worked. I understand the Giant fan who says, hey, you know, we could go defense. And you look around the league and you see some of the successful head coaches. Mike McDonald is number one on your list, but even to this day, Sean McDermott in Buffalo. And developed a young quarterback, which Joe Shane even mentioned yesterday when asked about an offensive-minded head coach versus defense. If he brought McDermott up saying, hey, look what we did in Buffalo. We had a defensive-minded head coach hired the right people around him, and Josh Allen developed into a top three quarterback in the league.
But that's the key, and that's the next big if. And that's what I'm worried about. Do you think, Evan, Jackson Dart's a finished product here?
No.
Okay, so you agree with me, whereas we're all high on Jackson Dart. I absolutely think he's the guy. I think he has the right attitude, all of that. But I think the biggest fatal flaw the Giants can make this offseason is operating under the assumption of, we got it figured out with Jackson Dart. Let's just worry about fixing the defense CEO type. I think there is still so much more room to grow. I think Jackson Dart has still miles to go. I think it was a good base level. I'm worried about hiring a defensive mind who doesn't bring in the right offensive coaches with it, and we go backwards with Dart.
Dwayne is in Queens. Good morning, Dwayne.
Hey, good morning, first-time caller.
Thanks for calling.
Can we say defensive coordinator, please? That job is so important. I wouldn't be against having Costa come back as a head coach if we had the right defensive coordinator because we scored points. We just couldn't stop anybody. All these games that we lost the past few years is because of the defense sucks. If we had the number one defense, we would probably still be playing right now.
Why do you think I want Kevin Stefanski? He could bring Jim Schwartz with him.
Understood.
It is as important. I don't think you're wrong, Dwayne. Absolutely important.
I understand your point, Dwayne. The part that you lose people on, including Sean, who almost barfed on the air, is the idea of bringing Mike Kafka back.
Yeah.
He's not an option to come back. I know he's going to get an interview, and that always happens with interim head coaches. Jeff Ulbrich got an interview last year. No one in their right mind thought he had a chance at the Jet job. But to me, and I'm wrong about this, because I thought when Kafka first got promoted, he had a puncher's chance at this job.
I did too.
But I think the results were so bad. Some of the decisions were so bad. And also, he just doesn't, I know this isn't the right answer, but I'm going to be honest. I think most of us feel this way. He just doesn't feel like a leader.
He doesn't. And you know what's, I'm glad you walked me into this, Evan. I made a point about this. I've watched every episode of every Hard Knocks that's ever existed, preseason, offseason, in season. And I have always said the one thing you could take away from that show is, oh, that guy's a crappy head coach. That guy's a good head coach. And I got that vibe in this in-season Hard Knocks from Kafka. And before you call me crazy, I watched that whole Bucks documentary. It goes 10 episodes.
Yeah.
Do you know why they hired Bruce Arians?
Oh, 10, geez.
I know. It was actually very good.
Go ahead.
We found out in that documentary, they hired Bruce Arians because the Glazer family saw Bruce Arians on the All or Nothing show where they followed around the Arizona Cardinals and they said, that's our guy. We can tell he's a good head coach. And they won a Super Bowl with him. So I know I'm not crazy when I watch Hard Knocks and think Kafka's a crappy head coach.
Well, that's not even watching Hard Knocks, which is a part of it. It's just even watching his press conferences. It just doesn't...
He doesn't carry himself like a head coach.
Yeah.
And there's no way to define that. You just know when you hear a guy.
Let's talk to someone who was in the building last night. What do they call that place? Little Caesars Arena in Detroit, Michigan?
Yeah, pizza.
Let's go to Chris in Michigan, who was there in person to witness the carnage of the Pistons against the Knicks. How'd it look in person, Chris?
A lot worse than when I went to the playoff games earlier last year. All right, here's my thing. I know, Evan, and I totally do agree with you. It's a game in January, like I said yesterday, it shouldn't really mean anything, but it does kind of plant the seeds, not so much of doubt, but seeds of what the future may look like. I do not understand how we go in there. They were off of back-to-back. Obviously, they're missing a few players. We're missing our heart and soul with Josh Hart, whatever. But they almost looked like they were timid. I'm not going to use the S word, scared, but they looked timid when they were playing. And when you play timid, you start to like, you know, I mean, Brunson, if you've ever played basketball or any sort of sport and you're not going full speed and everyone else is, that's when you get hurt. As soon as I seen him pull up on his ankle, I go, oh no. And then first it was his knee. Then it was an ankle on a rebound. I'm a little nervous that the team just kind of looks like they remember the playoffs last year. Some people said they were lucky to scoot by. Every game went down to the last possession. But the Pistons team's not the same team. I feel like they lost some better shooters. They got Duncan Robinson, but they ended up losing Beasley. They ended up losing Hardaway, all that stuff, right?
Mm-hmm. But you know what they gained? But, Chris, you know what they gained, which is interesting and important and makes them a bigger threat than they were a year ago? Experience. Mm-hmm. Cade Cunningham, who was an emerging star in this league, now knows what it's like. Jalen Duren now knows what it's like.
Exactly.
So I think that is a gain that the Pistons have picked up on. You use the T word of timid. I use the T word of tired. Now, that sounds like an excuse. I'm not making an excuse. I'm going to describe what I witnessed last night. They look like a tired team. Now, why do they look like a tired team? I don't know. Is it the NBA Cup? I don't know.
One extra game.
And also, the Pistons played the day before.
Right.
So if anyone should look like the tired team, it should be them. But the Knicks have looked like a tired team for 2 weeks. And you're right. It's only one extra game. Is it the added intensity of the NBA Cup games? I can't explain it. All I know is...
How late were they at the craps tables?
I don't know. All I know is the results are the results. Since that tournament, they were a different basketball team. So you can tell me it shouldn't matter. I'm just telling you, there's a clear line of demarcation.
I just think you're seeing a normal down part of the winter for a good NBA team. That's it.
No, and the Thunder are doing the same thing, exactly, as I mentioned earlier in the show.
I think that we got so used to the Knicks pedal to the metal in January, February, and I just think whatever the reason is, maybe they're allowed under Mike Brown to have just like not the same intensity they did, and we miss it. But I do think ultimately this is not going to matter come the postseason.
The most shocking thing happened involving Mike Francesa yesterday that I need to share with the audience. We will get to that, a new edition of Posted and Toasted, and more of your telephone calls on the Giants head coaching search, the Knicks, and everything else at 888-808-1019. And as I mentioned, a little bit later on, we will hear from Aaron Glenn and Darren Mugey as they give us a state of the New York Jets. It is Evan and Tiki with Sean Morash. Mike Francesa, who is, of course, a legend at this radio station, still active, does a podcast, he's on social media. We all love and respect Mike Francesa. On Twitter, he follows two people. He follows his sons.
Mm-hmm.
Makes complete sense. But he doesn't follow anyone else. There are some on Twitter who do that. They don't follow a lot of people. Jay Billis does that?
Jay Billis doesn't follow a single person.
Interesting. I think Skip Bayless does that as well. So it's a very...
Turn my mic off!
Whatever. That's what Mike does. Follows two people. His two sons. Yesterday, at 4:55 p.m., he followed a third person. That person works at WFAN.
Is that a new report or an old report?
Is that person Boomer Esiason?
That would make sense.
It is not. Huh. Is that person Greg Giannotti?
That would not make sense.
Yeah. No, it is not. Maybe it's Al. It's not Al Dukes. Some would argue it's me. I had a good relationship with Mike.
Uh-huh.
It is not me. Would it be Tiki Barber?
That would make sense.
Not Tiki Barber. Huh. Would it be a generational talent like Tommy Lugauer? It does not. So then it leads to, well, it's got to be Big Mac.
I mean, McGonagall.
Big Mac worked with him. He now occupies a half of a chair that Mike used to sit at. Like, Big Mac makes a lot of sense.
He'd have to spell his last name right to Twitter.
McGonagall.
It is not Chris McGonagall. Ladies and gentlemen, the third person that Mike Francesa now follows on Twitter is Sean Morash.
Thank you, thank you. And I have just checked in this break. He has unfollowed me already.
What?
He's unfollowed me.
So what does this mean? It was a mistake?
I view that, and I thought this was going to be the case, but I kept it low profile. I sent the screenshot to Evan right away. I'm like, you're not going to believe this. Here's the screenshot of my kids. Mike Francesa just started following you. The three follows. I think Mike did what a lot of us do. He throne scrolled. He was on the toilet, scrolling Twitter. And I think he saw a tweet of mine. I had a tweet that kind of went bonkers the last 2 days.
What was the tweet about? I want to see if it would be interest Mike.
It was, I knew the Ravens were missing the kick when John Harbaugh appeared on the screen in what appears to be the same boots I bought my wife for Christmas. With a picture of the boots.
You think that's something Mike appreciate?
You know how Twitter works right now, right? When an algorithm happens, he probably is following a lot of NFL stuff.
That's why. You're a fool.
I think he accidentally clicked follow. It lived overnight. But I have woken up now.
Oh,
he has unfollowed me again.
That's a
gorilla.
That's a buzzkill.
It is a buzzkill.
I thought, and I was coming up with all these theories on why Mike would follow you, because Mike, about a year ago,
thought I was Chris.
That's true.
Is that possible?
Yeah, maybe he did. But remember, he got upset with an opinion you had. He never directly would mention you by name, but specifically those that were pissed about Clark Schmidt being pulled with the no-hitter.
And those was just me.
It was just Sean. Like, literally, he was the only guy, and he was very passionate about it. And so Mike spent a good amount of time, and I thought it was a brilliant rant, dissecting you or that opinion. So we all came to the conclusion, it's Mike ripping you, but he's not going to mention you by name. So I've gotten the impression that he just doesn't like you very much.
I don't know if he doesn't like. I respect Mike, but maybe he doesn't. I don't know. He could maybe doesn't care for my test. He told you he doesn't like me? Is that what happened?
I haven't talked to Mike in like 2 years.
Huh.
It was a good conversation, though. I asked him to come on. He said no.
Amazing. Yeah, if you told me in 2013 Mike Francesa followed you on Twitter, what a big thrill. And it was. For last night, I went to bed on a high note. I said, you know what? Pete Hoffman's worse at running the board than me, and Mike Francesa follows me.
Gorilla.
Well, congratulations. At least you had a little bit less than 24 hours of being followed by Mike Francesa. Uh-huh. On that note, it's time for a brand new edition of Posted and Toasted.
It's time for Posted and Toasted on Evan and Tiki.
What happened? We got rid of Clyde already?
I forgot what it used to sound like.
It used to be that, except Walt Clyde said Posted and Toasted.
Ah, Tommy hid that one.
It's all right. That's a Tommy Lugauer problem. No big deal.
Posted and Toasted.
Thank you, Clyde. Here is the first tweet, and it is from someone who works here at WFAN, and Sean will guess. It's from March 7th, 2023. Okay. Joe Shane is an American hero. Joe Shane is an American hero.
March 7th, 2023, so this is free agency following the playoffs. Huh. Can I guess without you giving me candidates?
I think you're so good at this, I don't want to give you candidates.
It's me.
You are correct, sir. Huh. It is you. Why were you calling Joe Shane an American hero in March of 2023?
Did we trade for Darren Waller?
Was that what it was about?
I was so pumped when they traded for Darren Waller. What a clown.
I understand. American hero. Wow. Okay.
Well, they made the playoffs in 1 year. Now he's trading for Darren Waller. Oh, or maybe that was he signed Daniel Jones.
Was that
and
it?
And franchise tag Saquon.
Maybe that was it. Either way, whatever
managed
he did.
To keep both.
Whatever he did, I don't think warranted American hero. Here you are, 2.5 years later, and you want the man fired?
Yeah, no doubt.
This one is from January 2nd, 2013, so we're almost at the anniversary of it, a little past it. I wonder how all those frozen yogurt shops that popped up everywhere over the summer are doing now that it's January.
Al Dukes.
Yes. You are correct. That is Al Dukes.
I love this game.
It's a great observation, by the way, because... It's so true. Like, how are they doing?
I've often wondered how Ralph's survives.
I know. Well, here's the thing about Ralph's.
They close.
They close.
But and they got to pay rent.
It bothers me that they close. Because okay. Here's my point. So a few days ago, I took my oldest son, Jet, to get ice cream. He was very excited. Why did we have ice cream when it was 20 degrees outside? Because we're not eating outside. We're eating inside.
I never understood that. Ice cream works all year round.
Why do we need to close Icy's or ice cream places just because it's cold outside? We're not eating outside. We're buying it. We're going home. It's warm at home. Yeah, it's the same temperature as if it would be in the middle of July. So I don't understand why anyone closes.
Do you only eat hamburgers in the winter because it's hot out in the summer when you cook them? It doesn't make any sense.
Zero sense. This one is from September 17th, 2013. There's been a couple of times I thought about trying my dog's food out of curiosity, but I have always thought better of it. Which of our fellow coworkers has given the thought of eating dog food?
But I've always thought better of it. I'm going to go Greg Giannotti.
Damn, you are on fire today. That is Gio.
Really?
Yeah.
All right, good. I knew you weren't going to throw me for a loop with back-to-back Al's.
All right. Here's our last one of the day, November 18th, 2022. I wish Elon Musk liked NFL football and bought the Jets and ran them the same way he's running Twitter. We'd have our own badass stadium and win a Super Bowl within 2 years. Just not sure who our quarterback would be.
Ooh, this is a controversial one because not a lot of people like the Twitter change.
Yeah.
So it's got to be a Jet fan. Who works here that's a Jet fan?
Oh, jeez.
Outside of you. Because Boomer wouldn't put that up.
You don't think Boomer would tweet that he wished Elon Musk bought the Jets?
He tweets something about Elon Musk, not about buying the Jets. I'm going to go with you, Evan.
It is not me. You're wrong.
Really?
For the first time, Craig Carton.
Oh, I gotta put that one in my head.
Yeah, which makes me think you're right. Like, me and him are the only Jet fans right now at the station.
That makes sense.
Well, there you go. You did pretty well. You got 3 out of 4.
I'll take it.
So good job out of you. Every Tuesday at 11:30, it's Posted and Toasted.
Better win percentage than Joe Shane.
Let's go to, wow, that sounds crazy. Dean in Asbury Park. What's going on, Dean?
How you doing, guys? I just got our side here with Sean. Out of all the candidates, Stefanski, they all have warts. Stefanski, you could deal with. One thing I think is glossing over, Evan, is how difficult a division he's been in and being just the coach of the Browns puts you behind the eight ball because that franchise is so badly run. He's in a division with Harbaugh and Tomlin, who are two Hall of Fame coaches and perennial power. Like, to make the playoffs twice, to win two coach of the years with that. And, oh, by the way, Joe Burrow is a quarterback on the other team. It's made a Super Bowl. I think you're glossing over that a little bit. I think that has a lot to do with why he hasn't had more success. And I think he's had as much success as you could possibly have as a coach.
Yeah, but you mentioned the toughness of the division, which changes year to year, like this year. Was the AFC North a good division this year?
It was not.
So I don't think that flies this year.
And you better do better than he did with the Browns in this division that's also tough, the NFC East.
But the NFC East and the AFC North, I think, are great proof about how it just moves year to year and you can't see it coming. Like, the NFC East, with the emergence of Jaden Daniels after his rookie year of going to the NFC Championship game, with Jalen Hurts winning a Super Bowl, with the Cowboys, who really until the last couple of years have been perennial winners and have a lot of talent on their roster before they decided to trade stupidly, Michael Parsons. Like, this felt like a loaded division. And look what ended up happening this year. So
this is where
we form these opinions on divisions, and then the NFL humbles us. Like, the NFC East was not nearly as good as we thought it would be.
Counterpoint, I think we're kind of finding out as the way the season ends. We were probably cart before the horse here on Todd Bowles and Baker Mayfield being really good as a coach and quarterback combo.
Well, I think they look good the first 8 weeks of the season.
I understand that.
They got off to a wonderful start.
And they've made the playoffs these last couple of years as the remnants of that Arians team has thrown off. My point would be, if Stefanski was coaching the same way in the NFC South, the way we view him, he probably has a better win percentage than he does coaching in that division with Cleveland. I do believe that. Who do you think is a better coach, Todd Bowles or Kevin Stefanski?
So different.
They are different.
Who would I rather hire is very different than who's better.
Okay. But do you... Okay.
I can't believe I'm answering it this way. I kind of lean towards Todd Bowles.
Okay, but you don't think that we'd...
And I obviously had my issues with Todd, but I think the second stop, like, gives me... For me, at least, that's why I give him the edge.
Okay, and I don't think Bowles has done a bad job, but I do think if Todd Bowles was coaching in the AFC North, like he said, I don't think we're viewing him the same way.
Who's done a better job with Baker?
I mean, I guess Bowles, but he's also had Liam Cohen and Canales.
Yeah, no. That's not fair, because a part of why you like coaches is who they hire.
Yeah, no,
so
no,
now
you're right.
Diminishing.
No. I walked that back.
We had this guy. He hired that guy. That's a good thing.
I walked that back. You're right. You are right about that. Although, I think leaning now as we end the season, we have vastly overrated Baker Mayfield. Vastly.
The end of this season was humbling.
I think Baker Mayfield in a much better division doesn't look as pretty as he's looked in the South.
Let's go to Jim in Johnson City, Tennessee. What's going on, Jim?
Hey, fellas, what's happening?
What's up, man? Thanks
Congratulations.
For calling.
Congrats on the show. I'm with Morash. I'm a lifelong Cowboys fan, and if you want to sign up for 12 wins and a first-round exodus of the playoffs, hey, have at it.
You know what?
McCarthy's just not
sign
it,
me up.
Man.
The way you put it, yes.
I think Stefanski's had a raw deal in Cleveland. Look at his quarterback situation. What has he had to deal with? The Watson.
Yep.
All that debacle. I mean, he's done a heck of a job with two coaches of the year to be in that kind of a situation. And McCarthy, man, he's a player's coach. He's a good old boy. He's a what is it, Pillsbury Doughboy? Poke him in the stomach and he goes, hee hee. I mean, he's just...
That reminds me of Sean. Like, I think Sean kind of fits that.
A Pillsbury Doughboy?
Boomer, or it may have been Gio, I forget which one said it, but one of you said that you're like a stuffed animal.
A stuffed animal?
Yeah. He's fat! Well, no, not that, just that you're very huggable.
I saw a belly.
It wasn't like a mean comment, it was like... Huh. I think Boomer said he saw you, because obviously we see these guys, we haven't seen them in years, just based on the hours.
He gave me a neck massage today.
Well, he said, like, I just saw Sean and it made me smile. Like, you are the kind of person that brings smiles to people.
That's good.
I'm the kind of person that makes you want to walk the other way.
All the time. All the time.
Like, you see me, you're like, I go that way. I don't want to do a sports talk radio show outside. But I think with you, you're a stuffed animal. I think that's what it ended up being, like, you're a stuffed animal.
That seems like a compliment. I will say Boomer has changed my mindset on something.
What's that?
I'm more open to a male-on-male massage now than ever.
It was that good?
It was so good this morning. Like, he made me tingle.
Really?
He just did, like, one of those, like, you ever go up to somebody at a desk and you just kind of, like, rub their shoulders. But, hey, what's going on, big guy? He lasted, like, a 2 extra minutes longer than he had to during a break today. There was movement. And I would be more open than ever to having a male-on-male massage if it's a man as big as Boomer. With his hands.
Is it weird now if I ask him for one?
No.
I think it moved.
My back kills me. And if you're telling me Boomer gave like the greatest 2-minute massage, like I'm kind of jealous.
I know people listen going like, oh, hokey radio bit. No, I'm not talking about radio bit. Like I felt so calm and unbelievably in that 4 minutes that Boomer
I think it moved.
I mean, he's got big hands.
And there was no oil.
It was no bare skin. It was just his raw hands on top of three shirts, and I felt invigorated.
Wow.
And he knew that. I told him. I go, Boomer, that's one of the best massages I've ever had.
What was his response?
Big hands, Tubbs.
Oh, for what I told you.
Yeah, exactly.
Wow. Well, good for you, man. That's a good way to start the morning.
You should try it tomorrow.
Yeah, I'm not a big massage guy, but you have me intrigued based on how good it felt.
It was so good.
I'm full on erotic.
If I took off my clothes and got on a table, I think an hour with Boomer would be incredible.
All right. Did you ask him about the Ranger game he still owes you?
I'm not doing that now.
Because now is a perfect time to bring it up since you see him.
Is it after the Mammoth won in overtime last night? Is it a perfect time? Shesterkin's laying there?
It has nothing to do with Shesterkin being hurt. Hopefully he's okay. It has to do with the fact that he promised you a Ranger game. He didn't come through on it. You feel weird bringing it up, but because you never saw him. Like, it would be odd to just text him and be like, hey, what about the Ranger game? You, when you're in the newsroom, can see him every day. So it's easy to just be like, hey, by the way, boom, no rush, no big deal. Whip out a loogie, no biggie. Oh, we still doing that Ranger game. And maybe you can give me a massage in between periods.
You know what? Give me a couple more weeks to ease back into Boomer's life.
All right, fair enough.
I will.
Fair enough.
Real quickly, Evan, the Fan Focus is sponsored by Chef IQ Precision Cooking. Effortless results, chefiq.com. We've been talking a lot about the Knicks and Pistons last night. Good news, Knicks fans, though. Your biggest villain may be on the move. Reports say Trae Young and the Hawks are working toward a divorce and trade from Atlanta. And if Knicks fans are worried he could go to a playoff threat like Detroit, don't. Right now, Washington Wizards are the favorites to land the modern-day Reggie Miller.
Now, do you know why that is unbelievably amazing news if it happens?
Why?
Trae Young in Washington would be insane news for the Knicks fan. Because the New York Knicks own the Washington Wizards first-round pick, 1-8 protected. The more the Wizards win, the more likely it is that that pick won't be protected and will belong to the New York Knicks.
Ooh.
And it could be a really good pick. Like, they're picking 11th. That's yours. So the Knicks have a chance to own a significantly awesome draft pick, and Trae Young going to Washington only helps that, which leads you to wonder if you're the Wizards and you know about this protection. Mm-hmm. Why would you want to improve your roster too much this season when it's not the difference between picking 3rd and 9th like the Nets are, or 5th and 7th? It's the difference between having the pick and not having the pick.
I think it's apathy in that fan base in Washington. The Wizards have been dead for so long.
And they just want to win.
Exactly. Or at least just make the team fun and excited, get people back in that building again.
But I will tell you again, Knicks fans, root for him to go to Washington, because if the Wizards win more games, that can absolutely benefit the Knicks in a huge way when it comes to that draft pick and the protections that are currently on it. Let's go to Bob down in Florida. What's up, Bob?
Hey, Evan, I'm glad I got you. Just to give you a quick heads up, Vero Beach has opened up its airport from a direct flight from there to Westchester Airport.
What? Oh, my God. That's huge news for spring training. Thank you.
Wow.
Wow.
I know. Within the next year or so, Fort Pierce is going to be doing the same thing.
Nice.
So
thank you.
It's really open.
Wow.
And like I said, they got direct flights to Boston, to Westchester, to LaGuardia.
That's great.
And I think to D.C. too. But anyway, so I just want to call up and put my 2 cents in for the Giant head coach vacancy. I like the guy that they have right now. I mean, my eyes tell me that these guys want to play for him. The last 3 games, what do you think happened with Abdul Carter? All of a sudden, there was a fire lit under this guy. Just because they fired a defensive coach, you think?
Well, Bob, I think that is, if you want to point to a positive from Mike Kafka, the way he handled Abdul Carter and whatever the heck Abdul Carter was doing, being late for meetings, and if he was kind of getting away with a lot of stuff under Brian Daboll, that is the biggest feather in the cap of Mike Kafka, is that wake-up call he gave Abdul Carter seemingly saved the end of Abdul Carter's rookie year. That is the one positive.
Yeah, he brought it up. Give him credit.
Yeah, I absolutely
I think that is an absolutely fair point. Despite me agreeing with you, Sean, I would not want to bring Mike Kafka back. I didn't think he did enough to warrant me thinking he's the answer. That is absolutely a little check mark next to his name. You make a pro-cons list. These are the pros. These are the cons. He needed to do. And you know what also I think it does? It makes Daboll look bad. It really does, especially when you hear that this was a problem long before Kafka took over.
Yes.
And this head coach really didn't do anything about it.
No, absolutely. But if you're keeping Kafka and thinks he did a good job, then Shane should be fired, because that means the roster wasn't good enough with the job Kafka was doing.
Brendan in Clifton, New Jersey. Hey, Brendan.
Hey, guys. Sean, I got to take exception with you a little bit on a point you made earlier. You were talking about, if it comes down to it, if Kevin Stefanski was going to dictate to the mayors, like, hey, I'll come here, but it means getting rid of Shane.
Yes.
I don't, who is Kevin Stefanski? I mean, he's not Bill Parcells or Don Shula. Like, he's a good coach.
Brendan.
But for him to come in and dictate who the GM is?
Brendan, who the hell is Joe Shane?
I understand, but the Giants already made the decision that they want to bring Joe Shane back.
All right, Brendan, are you aware of the... Hold on, Brendan, are you aware of the year the Jaguars are having here in the background of what happened to them last year?
I am aware of
okay.
the Jaguars.
Okay, so they could not be here right now if Liam Cohen was not hired. They deemed him the right guy. He did not want to work with Trent Baalke. Do you think the Jaguars made the right call? Because Trent Baalke was Joe Shane.
I understand that, but the Giant, but what you're saying, like the Jaguars made the decision, right? Like they made the decision.
Yeah, they didn't want to lose the coach.
Take on Liam Cohen. But the Giants have made the decision. We want to keep Shane. We think he's the right guy. For them to reverse course over Kevin Stefanski.
Yeah. You don't lose good head coaches because you're keeping a GM that shouldn't have been kept to begin with. That's
the
bottom line.
This is tough. I think I'm going to side with Sean on this. Not that I love Kevin Stefanski. If you missed it, you could rewind to 10 o'clock. I'm not anti-Kevin Stefanski. I'm more lukewarm to him than Sean is and others. But I kind of agree. Like, if I identify, because what Joe Shane made clear yesterday is this is a group decision.
Yeah.
And by group decision, let's be honest, it's an ownership decision.
Ownership. Ownership's the one doing the interviews.
Ownership. Well, they're all doing the interviews. They're a part of it.
Okay. He's sitting in, but he made it clear yesterday that this is going to be an ownership call.
Okay. So it's an ownership decision. And I get a lot of fans not trusting ownership right now based on the hires of the last decade. Not going to argue that. But if they deem the person that they want is totally their guy, won them over, he's the guy. And his prerequisite is, I don't need Joe Shane.
Yeah.
You got to do it. And I think you make a great example about what happened in Jacksonville, because that is how it played out, right? Mm-hmm. Like,
everybody wanted Baalke out except Jacksonville ownership. They said, no, we want to stick with him. Until they went through the process interviewing coaches, the guy they identified and they wanted didn't want Baalke, walked away, was going to go back to Tampa, and they said, we can't allow this to happen.
And that's a great kind of question on this process. Are there going to be coaches that feel that way about Shane? And if they do, would it cause the Giants to reverse course in a similar fashion to Jacksonville? Which I remember at the time, and being fair, none of us thought Trent Baalke deserved to keep his job, but the way that played out looked odd, and it made the Jaguars feel dysfunctional.
Yeah, and we also thought Liam Cohen was a terrible hire.
Right, well, because his first interview wasn't great.
Right.
That's what it came down to.
And I
think also the way he handled his exit in Tampa was not widely loved, is what I also heard. So, yeah, he came in with... I don't know if he's going to be the answer. He's done a great job, which is a reminder, as we learned with Joe Judge and maybe we learned with Aaron Glenn, that opening press conference does not tell you the whole story.
No.
In fact, Nick Sirianni's a great example of that, too.
Yeah. Nick Sirianni, his big sell was, I play rock, paper, scissors with draft prospects to determine their competitive instinct. We laughed at him.
It's kind of makes sense, though.
Now looking back, it was a smart tactic.
it's a good way to find out. Let's talk to Coach Ralph out on Long Beach. What's up, Coach Ralph?
Hey, Sean, I'll tell you, it's good to talk. I've been a Giant here 60 years, and my friend saying that game that meant nothing. Well, beating the Cowgirls would have been 10 losses was better than anything for me. I was happy. As a I'm sitting in Long Beach on the boardwalk watching a couple of whales, and I'm telling you.
Well, turn off YouTube's WFAN page, then, will you?
Right on the boardwalk, and I'm saying to myself, let's get this guy Cignetti. Maybe he's got the magic touch. From James Madison?
Yeah.
Indiana, a basketball school?
He's done a good job, Coach Ralph. Here's the issue with Cignetti. Number one, age. Number two, why the hell is Kurt Cignetti leaving what he's building in Indiana or college at his age to go coach the mess that is the New York Giants right now? Why?
Well, because they're not a mess, as you've pointed out. They've got
I pointed it out?
Because they have a roster that can be... They have the kind of roster where them being the Patriots next year wouldn't be the biggest shock in the world. And so if you feel that way, then why wouldn't a coach feel that way? Like, they have the best chance at a turnaround than any other team that has a coaching vacancy. I think Atlanta's up there, too. But when it comes to the quarterback, and you include that, it's an appealing job. You just answered Coach Ralph by saying, it's a crappy job. You think it's a crappy job now?
You're misunderstanding what I've said.
I must be misunderstanding you.
Do I think the Giants can be the Bears or Patriots next year? Yes. But I also am not sure. I'm not sure the Giants roster is nearly as good as they think it is. I think that they have building blocks. I think they have a left tackle. I think they have a pass rusher. I think they have a good quarterback. But I think they got major questions up and down this roster that I'm not so sure gets brushed over. Also, Mike Vrabel's not Kevin Stefanski either, as much as I want Stefanski. You don't think that helped? Vrabel might be the top five coach in the league here. I think it's a big difference here.
Well, I get you. Well, when you look at the three teams that made the turnaround that we're all going to use as a guide that were brought up a little bit during Joe Shane's press conference yesterday, the three examples are the Chicago Bears, the New England Patriots, and the Jacksonville Jaguars.
Yep.
Right? One of them hired the ready-made, like dream hire in Mike Vrabel.
Who made an AFC title game, the whole thing, right?
Yes, an established coach, also with a history with that franchise. The other two hired first-time head coaches.
Correct.
So as we have all talked about experience matters, the teams that we're viewing as, like, this is what the Giants should follow, they both brought in first-time coaches.
Well, and we don't know how these playoffs are going to pan out, but as much as we're throwing bouquets, and I just complimented Liam Cohen, we've talked about Ben Johnson, they could easily be 2022 Brian Daboll, too. Like,
where it's one good year and then, I get
because
you.
What would we have said if we weren't working in New York at the time of 2022? We'd be pointing at it like Liam Cohen and Ben Johnson.
Yeah.
We talk about how much they got it right. The only one I know they got it right is Vrabel because he has had that success.
We will get to more of your phone calls, 888-808-1019. A little bit later on, we'll still hear from Aaron Glenn and Darren Mougie. We're speaking today on the state of the New York Jets. But there were two interesting things that Joe Shane was asked yesterday, and we'll listen to what he had to say that's worthy of discussion. We'll get to that coming up in a few minutes. It's Evan and Tiki. Tiki off. He'll be back in a couple of days featuring Sean Morash.